Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of Satan and the Christian. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 16, verse 20, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Let's talk more specifically about the devil's assault. Now, here in the context, you remember Paul was referring to those who caused division and offenses that were contrary to the doctrine. And all throughout the scripture, when you look at the subject of false teaching, there's always the inference that Satan is working behind the scenes. We read about seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So false teaching, twisted theological views, reasonings and philosophies that contradict what the scriptures say regarding God and Christ and so forth. These are ultimately, if you trace them back far enough, they are the philosophies and the ideas of the devil himself. So we have false teaching. We have persecution. The enemy is in many places of the world and has been for a long, long time, stirring up flesh and blood against the people of God, resulting in various outbreaks of persecution. And then, of course, there's temptation. And we all know something about temptation. But there are afflictions. And although you couldn't say that every time a person is sick, that would necessarily be connected back to the activity of Satan, there are certainly times when that is the case. And we know that can happen. Paul, the apostle, stated concerning his own affliction that Satan was at the root of it. So we know that there are times when even afflictions can be the primary or the original source can be the devil. And then there's what we might call mental oppression. This is the one that I think is probably the most prevalent in the situation that we find ourselves in. Because, you know, after all, even though there is a growing hostility in the culture toward the faith, we still haven't come to the place where there's outright persecution, really. And, you know, we can experience different kinds of conflict and difficulties and so forth, and the enemy can, you know, be working there, and, you know, the efforts through the false teaching to infiltrate, and, you know, as we talked about. But this area where this attack on the mind, this is so much what the enemy does, I think, in a situation like we have, in our cultural situation. He spends much of his time in attacking the mind and trying to trip us up, trying to deceive us in a variety of different ways. But I want to talk about some of the most common ways. And I have talked to so many people that have had these experiences and didn't really know what was going on. Were definitely oppressed by these thought processes. And, you know, to be able to listen and then to respond back and say, hey, listen, that is the enemy. This can be tremendously liberating to, you know, find out what's really going on. But this mental oppression comes in the form, I think, most frequently of condemning thoughts. But this is the work of Satan. This is what he does. He doesn't want us to rest in our salvation. He doesn't want us to experience the joy of the Lord. He doesn't want us to have the peace of God. He wants us to live in torment. And so he comes along and he will suggest you're not really saved. Or maybe you were saved, but you've sinned so badly God could never really forgive you. He could never receive you back. Because after all, you knew better. And so God is finished with you. And these condemning thoughts and these thoughts oppress people. And, you know, even as they might consider, you know, I need to get down to the church. I need to pray. Those thoughts will say, no, 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 don't go down there. Oh, they know you're a big hypocrite down there. You don't want to show your face in that place. And it torments them and it beats them down. And the enemy wants to drive them to the point of despair. We have to understand that this is the devil's work. This is the kind of thing that he does. So condemning thoughts. But then there's what I would call consigning thoughts. The enemy wants to consign you to a certain lifestyle or a certain behavior. He wants to convince you of things that are not true, to consign you to bondage and to ruin your life. And he comes along and he throws these accusations at people. And he continues to hurl these things relentlessly over and over. His ultimate objective is for someone to just finally give in, just to embrace and just say, okay, that's it. That's who I am. That's who I will always be. There's no other alternative. There's no escape. This is the work of the devil. And, you know, multitudes of people go through this. You know, like I said, 20 out of the 27 books of the New Testament reference the devil. We read about demons in the days of Jesus and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, here we are and we're going along and, you know, we don't see any demons and we're not having any encounters with things that we necessarily would automatically identify as satanic. But the reality is those creatures exist. And let me tell you, they're not sleeping. They're not resting. They're doing things. But here's the thing. We don't recognize that it's them that's at work. And so many things we relegate off to some, you know, it's some other thing. It's not that. And we tend to think in terms of psychology. And, oh, well, you know, that's a psychological disorder. And I recognize that there are, you know, I'm not saying that every manifestation of any sort of psychological issue is satanic. But I'll tell you what, I think in every one of those cases, the devil's got his finger in there somewhere. He messes with the mind. But on this idea of consigning thoughts, I want you to think with me, there are so many that are battling with eating disorders, people that are battling with tendencies toward mutilation, people that are battling with homosexual attractions, people that are battling with suicidal thoughts. The missing component in most perspectives on these things or attempts to understand these things, the missing component is the activity of the devil. He's the one who's coming with those accusing thoughts. Because he is a murderer. He came to rob and to kill and to destroy. And this is what he's doing by seeking to consign people to these life-dominating sins and these sins that destroy people's lives. So we've got to recognize this. We've got to recognize this in order to be protected ourselves. And we've got to recognize it so we can help other people. So we can say to them, no, listen, this is what's going on. That isn't true. You see, all of these things are lies, right? Satan is the father of lies. As Jesus said, he can't speak the truth. It's not possible. There's no truth in him. So everything he does is a lie. And everything he suggests in some way, shape, or form is a lie meant to ultimately destroy. But we've got to be aware of it. We've got to realize it. So these condemning thoughts, these consigning thoughts, this is his work. And it's very prevalent in our experience today. So what do we do? Well, the Bible tells us that God has given us certain weapons. And Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in the 10th chapter of the second epistle, he said this. He said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or merely human, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down or demolishing arguments, and every high-minded thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." See, what are all of these things that we just talked about doing? They're exalting themselves against the truth of God and against the knowledge of God. How do we combat that? He says that we have to combat it with the weapons that God has given us. And they're not material weapons. They're not merely human. They're not philosophical arguments even. It's the truth of God's word applied to the heart by the Spirit. That's what casts down the imaginations. That's what destroys those demonic arguments. That's what will set a person free. And so, how do we combat the enemy then? Well, specifically, there are three weapons that we'll consider. And weapon number one is the shield of faith. It starts right there. We've got to believe God. We've got to believe what God has said about reality versus what man says about it. Because they're totally opposite things, aren't they? And boy, today it's just, you know, as I'm saying, and as you know, it's becoming more and more and more blatant. Man is rising up in opposition to what God has declared. And he's putting forth his philosophies and his perspectives. And a lot of people are falling prey to those ideas because they're not putting their faith in the Word of God. We have got to put our faith in the Word of God. We've got to believe what God has said. We've got to take his word to heart. That's the shield of faith. And when the enemy comes in blasting with both barrels, with all of the deception and, you know, all of the confusion and everything else, we've got to stand firm on what is declared in this book. And there are already many that have fallen. There are already many that are capitulating. And the only way to stand, the only way to survive, the only way to advance or move forward is we've got to have a firm grip on the shield of faith. We must believe that God is at work in the world today. We must believe that he is working in our own lives, and it's only by faith that we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan can be very persuasive, and he can come with very powerful, oppressive thoughts. And we have got to have the shield of faith to quench those flaming arrows of the wicked. So when the enemy throws these things my way, it's that shield of faith that's going to extinguish them. So we've got to have a firm grip on the shield of faith. And secondly, we must wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the idea here is it is the Word of God specifically applied to a particular situation. And that's the idea. And what that really is communicating to us is our need to know the Word in a very detailed manner. We need to know it well enough to be able to do what Paul told Timothy to do, to be able to rightly divide it, to be able to apply it to particular situations that will arise. And so when we continually encourage you to read your Bible, study your Bible, meditate on the Word, get to know it, that's your defense. That's your weapon against the enemy. That's what's going to give you the ability not only to stand ground, but to take ground when necessary. So we've got to take the sword of the Spirit. We've got to immerse ourselves in it, and then we need to learn to wield it. And as we come up against these different things, we apply the Scriptures. I was talking to a friend today, and we were talking about counseling, and he said, you know, how he's come to enjoy counseling over the past several years, where, you know, previously in ministry, he, you know, preferred more just to teach. But he said he's learned to enjoy it and see the value of it and the impact of it. And he said, you know, most counseling is listening. You listen and listen and listen and listen, and then you apply the Word of God to the situation. But you know, we have to have specific things when it comes to our application. We have to have a thorough knowledge of the Scripture so we know what to apply to that type of thing. So when a person comes with this condemnation, or when a person comes with these consigning thoughts, or when a person's overwhelmed with anxiety or something like that, we're able to take them to the appropriate text and just speak, this is God's word to you. And this is the thing that will deliver them. This is the thing that will set them free. This is the thing that will enable them to rise up out of that bondage and that torment and move forward in their relationship with Christ. And then thirdly, we must pray. We must pray. Jesus told us that certain satanic strongholds can only be broken by prayer. I think if there was one thing that we as a church, that the church in general, if there's one thing that we need to get firmly fixed in our minds, is that unless we pray, we will continue to be pushed backward. We've got to pray. Jesus said, there are certain powers, certain spirits that are so strong that they can't be broken except through prayer, intense prayer. And he included in that fasting, which is a way of, you know, just sort of speaking of a more intense version of prayer. And we have other examples in the Scripture. I think the best illustration of this is the situation in the 10th chapter of Daniel. We read there about, you know, Daniel setting his heart to pray as he's seeking the Lord. And he's asking God about the future of his people, and he's praying. But he's praying, and he's fasting, and he's laboring, and it's a period of 3 full weeks. And at the end of that period, the Lord's messenger appears to him and begins to encourage him. But he says this to him, from the day that you set your heart to seek the Lord, I was sent to come to you, but the prince of Persia resisted me. Now, this is fascinating. What that angelic messenger is telling us is that there is a battle going on in the invisible realm. And when we start to pray, God moves to answer, but the devil opposes. And the messenger tells Daniel that this, you know, from the moment you started to pray, I was sent, but he was held up by the prince of Persia, by this spirit, until he received assistance from Michael, who came to aid him and free him up to go and then give that word to Daniel. But you see, this is what's really going on. This is what's happening behind the scenes. And we have got to get a clear understanding that the primary thing that we're dealing with is spiritual. And everything else is it's secondary and it's contingent on what happens in the spiritual realm. So you see, if I'm just trying to fight all of these things on the human level, I might, you know, gain a little bit of ground here and there in certain ways, but in the end, I'm never going to be able to see a full breakthrough or deliverance come, because that spiritual thing has to be dealt with. It's not that we don't do other things, but we must pray not only first, we must continue to pray. And quite often when we pray, God shows us how to take action, doesn't he? But it's action that's based not on just, you know, my assessment of the situation, but it's action that's based upon God's understanding of the thing and God's direction. And as we move forward, empowered by prayer and seeking the Lord, this is when we're going to see progress made. This is when we're going to see that there will be advances gained for the kingdom of God. And so whether it be for us collectively as God's people, his church, or for each one of us personally, individually, the same thing applies. We have an adversary, and he is going about seeking whom he may devour. We are called to resist him, steadfast in the faith. Resist him with the shield of faith. Resist him with the sword of the Spirit. Resist him in prayer. And God's promise is that at the appointed time, he will crush Satan under our feet. There can still be many victories ahead. God is not finished with this world. And all of those that are bound and held captive, those are people that Jesus died for. Those are people that God wants to liberate from that captivity. And he wants to use us to do that. He wants us to be a part of this great mission of delivering people. So we ourselves have got to understand what the real issues are. We've got to make sure that we are firmly fixed in the truth, and then we can advance. Then we can move forward. So may the Lord help us to see the world through the proper lens of Scripture, to see that it's not what it appears to be, but there are other factors, and those factors are exactly revealed to us in the pages of Scripture.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Benediction. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Satan and the Christian. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0165. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.